You're listening to Room 208 Podcast, June 3rd, 2005. This week we've got another story by Elena Lindy, Student News, Bree's Animal Corner, This Week in History, and one of my favorites, Word of the Week. First up, student news.
Student news!
This week we found out the Portland Press started to call us the Podkits. The Portland Press interviewed us about our podcast. We told them how it affects our learning. Also, Kevin and Jesse from the York County Coast Star came to take pictures and interview us. We hope it comes out this week. Mr. S showed us a graph of how many hits we got on the day the Portland Press came. We had 582 unique visitors and 562 of the people were first-time visitors. David Warlick posted us on EPN, which stands for Education Podcast Network. Also, the teacher list made us link of the day. We were posted on a German site, too.
Also this week, we have almost finished with Stars for Broadway. There is only 1 week and a half till the show, so make sure you get some seats reserved. The boys and girls numbers are coming along really good. The boys' number is Next to Love and I Like Fightin' from Shenandoah. The girls' number is Secondhand Rose. Another big part of the show is It Don't Mean a Thing. Three people are dancing to it, and the people are Brianna, Manuela, and Emily. Sean, Gavin, and Mr. Taylor will play instruments. Gavin plays the sax, Sean plays the trombone, and Mr. Taylor plays the piano. You can get only 5 tickets for both nights. You need to reserve a seat for you and your guests. Hope you enjoy it.
Another thing that happened this week is we had some visitors come. Their names are Stephanie, Mike, and Josh. They work at South Portland High School and Lake Region School District. They were here to learn about our podcast. They think podcasting is a cool new way to use technology. Stephanie uses the same tools, but for a different reason. She records different languages in her iPod, so the students hear themselves speaking different languages. They were really excited to learn from us about podcasting.
A cool thing that happened on Monday is we had a Memorial Day parade. The third graders played their recorders and some of the fourth graders played their instruments. The people really enjoyed the parade. After the parade, everyone went to the cemetery to watch and listen to a special ceremony. And then everyone in the band got free ice cream at Condon's Donuts. Thank you, Condon's. After that, everyone went home.
This is Brianna again with Bree's Animal Corner. Today we have 4 more animals. Their names are Haley, Bagheera, Patchy, and Patches. Well, here they are. First, we have a 4-year-old spayed female Labrador mix named Haley. Her previous family surrendered her to the shelter because she was jealous of the new baby. She's a pretty girl that is looking for an adult-only home or a home with kids over the age of 15. She should do well with most dogs and cats. She'd love to find an active person who has the time to socialize her and work on obedience training. Obedience lessons are required for her when she is adopted, and the person who adopts her will be refunded 100% of the fee once she has completed the class. The classes will help with socialization and will get her over her fear of new situations. If you are interested in her, then please stop by for a visit soon. Next, we have a cat named Bagheera. Have you ever seen such beautiful color eyes? Just look into his eyes and let him hypnotize you. He just knows you just can't wait to have a cat and you want to take him home with you. He's just perfect for you. He's a social, friendly kitty who goes around the room visiting other cats, and when they aren't looking, he grabs a taste of their food. Shh, don't say anything. It will be your secret, okay? His name is Bagheera, and he is a 2-year-old male. He purrs up a storm when you pet him and will suckle your clothing when he is relaxed and content. He's been around dogs and gets along well with most other cats. He was a stray, but now he is looking for a new home. Finally, we have 2-year-old guinea pigs. Their names are Patchy and Patches. Guinea pigs can make great pets and become very friendly. They have medium-length, tri-colored fur and get along well with cats. Their previous family surrendered them to the shelter because they were moving. Please stop by and get to know them. And those are our animals. Now I'm gonna tell you some tips. Here's a dog tip. The more often you trim your dog's nails, the harder it will be to cause the nail of the dog to bleed while you are trimming them. You should trim your dog's nails every 2 weeks. Here's a cat tip. As your baby becomes more active, make sure that you have a quiet spot for your pet to be alone if they feel overwhelmed. If you're interested in any of these animals, you can visit the Animal Welfare Society in Kennebunk, Maine at www.animalwelfaresociety.org or give them a call at 985-3244. This was Bree with Bree's Animal Corner. Bye!
I'm Sean with MLB Sports, and this week we have scores for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and the weekly injury report. Let's start with Sunday. The Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, 11-2 Cincinnati. Boston, New York, 7-2 Red Sox. Now for Monday. Baltimore, Boston, 8-1 Baltimore. Cincinnati, Houston, 9-0 Cincinnati. Now for Tuesday. Boston, Baltimore, 5-1 Boston. Kansas City, New York, 5-3 Kansas City. The Yankees finally lost a game. Now for the injury report. Carlos Beltran is out for the Mets because he strained his right quadriceps. And Curt Schilling is out again because he injured his right ankle. Sadly, the Red Sox's center fielder, Johnny Damon, is out because he crashed into the center field wall and had seven scratches on his face. He had 4 stitches above his right eye. And I'm Sean, and that was MLB Sports.
This is Dylan with the NBA. This week I'm going to talk about the Phoenix Suns. Don't laugh at the Suns because they have been way behind in the first quarter of every game the Suns play against the Spurs. I think they trailed the San Antonio Spurs with a 3-0 record because they don't play as well in the first quarter as the second. The Suns trail the Spurs by at least 13 points a game. The Suns are really going to have to step up their game if they hope to beat the Spurs and stay in the playoffs. That's all for the NBA.
Hi, I'm Sean.
And I'm Fanula.
And this is This Week in History. This Week in History, on May 30th, 1911, Ray Heron won the first Indianapolis 500 car race.
And on May 30th, 1431, Joan of Arc was burned to death.
On June 2nd, 1941, baseball player Lou Gehrig died of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis disease.
On May 30th, 1922, the Lincoln Memorial was dedicated by Chief Justice William Howard Taft to President Lincoln.
On June 4th, 1896, Henry Ford took his first car he built out for a test drive.
On May 29th, 1953, Edward Hillary, was the first to stand on Mount Everest. That was This Week in History. Bye.
Hi, this is Fanula with the Word of the Week. The word of this week is scrutinize. S-C-R-U-T-I-N-I-Z-E, scrutinize. I am going to ask some people what they think it means. What do you think scrutinize means?
I think scrutinize means a city.
I think scrutinize means you screwed something.
I think scrutinized means I don't know what it means.
I think it means like to be crazy.
Scrutinize means is like a country.
What do you think scrutinize means?
I think scrutinize means fruit.
What scrutinize really means is to examine closely and thoroughly. Let me use it in a sentence. I scrutinized my dog for ticks. Well, that's Fanula with the word of the week. Bye.
Hi, this is Zoe.
And I'm Sean.
And we're going to have a story by Miss Elaine Lindy.
You might remember when we read From the Elephant Pit 2 weeks ago.
Now Miss Lindy has put our reading on her website.
You should check it out.
Thanks, Miss Lindy.
You can find her stories at www.storiestogrowby.com.
Now Mark and Fanula are going to read one of her stories called One Man's Horse.
We hope you enjoy the story.
Hi, I'm Fanula.
And I'm Mark.
And today we'll be reading One Man's Horse.
This tale is from Turkey and rewritten by Elaine Lindy.
She gave us permission to read her stories. One day, the king, also called the Caliph, disguised himself as an ordinary traveler and left his place to travel through his country and see for himself how his people fared.
Mounted on a fine steed, he traveled on until he came to within a few miles of town of Basra. There he saw a poor lame man seated by the wayside. "Alms, alms, I beg of you," implored the beggar.
The caliph threw him a piece of money and was about to ride on when a sudden thought stopped him. "Old beggar," he said, "to what city do you journey?" "To the city of Basra," answered the lame man.
Dismounting, the caliph helped the old man to the horse's back, then mounting in front of him, rode into Basra. Arriving at their journey's end, the caliph said to the lame man, "Dismount, I leave you here."
"Dismount yourself," answered the beggar. "The horse is mine." "What?" cried the caliph. "Miserable beggar, did I not lift you from the roadside?"
"Very true," replied the beggar, "but can you prove it? In Basra, we are both strangers. It is your word against mine. What are you going to do about it?" That was a question the caliph had to answer for himself. He thought, "If I throw the old man into the gutter, he will cry out. A mob will gather and yell, 'Give the old man his horse.'
If I give the thief a large sum of money, he'll be glad to let me have my horse back, but at the same time, he'll be encouraged to cheat someone else. In the same way, if I ask a caddy or judge to settle the case, I may lose my horse, but at the same time, I will find out how the caddy of Basra deals justice."
So saying, they went to the place where the caddy was holding court. Two men stood before the caddy, an oil merchant and a porter. The porter held a piece of gold in his hand. This coin, he said, "belongs to me." "Your honor," said the oil merchant, "that coin is mine. I have owned it for many years and always carry it. I lost it only today."
"Are there any witnesses?" asked the caddy.
"No, your honor," answered the man.
"Very well," said the caddy. "Leave the coin with me and return tomorrow." "What sort of way is that to render justice?" thought the caliph to himself. The next case was called, and two other men approached the caddy. "What is your trade?" he asked the first.
"I am a writer," was the answer.
"Why are you here?" continued the caddy.
"This morning while I was out, someone stole my book of learning." "That tailor," he said, pointing to the other man, "now has it and claims that it is his. Are there any witnesses?"
"None, your honor," replied the man. "Very well," said the caddy. "Leave the book with me and return tomorrow." "Indeed, these are strange ways to render justice," thought the caliph. Next, the caddy called the caliph and the beggar before him. "Who are you, and what is your trouble?" he asked, addressing the caliph.
"Your honor," replied the caliph, "I am a traveler from a distant land, a few miles from your city gates. I met this lame beggar lying on the wayside. I had compassion on him, and lifting him to my horse's back, I brought him to the city. He repays my kindness with the basest ingratitude. He claims that my horse is his own." The caddy then turned to the beggar. "What have you to say in the answer to this man's charge?" he said.
"The horse is mine," answered the beggar. I raised him from a colt, and we love each other as brothers. If my horse is taken from me, what shall I do? You see, I am but a poor lame man, and I need my faithful horse to carry me. Here the old beggar pretended to weep to gain the sympathy of the judge.
My goodness, thought the caliph to himself, how is the caddy going to decide? The old humbug almost persuade me that I have stolen my own horse. The caddy calmly asked, have you any witnesses? No, your honor, replied the caliph and the beggar. Then said the caddy, leave the horse with one of my soldiers for night, and return to this courtroom tomorrow morning.
The next morning, the caliph arrived at the courtroom early, for he was eager to hear how the caddy would decide all the cases. Promptly, at the opening hour, the caddy entered the room and at once called the oil merchant and the porter before him. Handing the gold piece to the oil merchant, he said, here is your gold piece. Take it and depart. Then he turned to the porter. You have tried to keep what does not belong to you, and you have lied, he said in a stern voice. Soldiers, he called, take this man from the courtroom and give him 20 strokes with a rod on the soles of his bare feet.
Next, the writer and the tailor came before him. This book of learning, I find, belongs to the writer, he said. I now return it to him. Soldiers, take the false swearing tailor and give him 30 lashes with whips on the palms of his hands.
At last, the caliph and the beggar were called before the caddy, who addressed the beggar, why have you repaid kindness with ingratitude? Do you not know that the ungrateful man is the most miserable wretch on the earth? Since you are lame, I will not have you beaten, but I will keep you in prison until you repent to your evil ways.
Good traveler, the horse is yours. Take it and continue on your way. May kindness be the better rewarded in the future. The caliph thanked the judge and stepped to the back of the room. There he waited until all but the caddy left the courtroom. Then he approached him and said, honored judge, I much admire your wisdom, without doubt. You are inspired. Who else could render such righteous judgments? No inspiration at all, replied the caddy. These cases have all been very simple. Did you not hear the oil merchant say that he had carried the piece of gold for many years? Last night I threw the coin into a glass of clear water. This morning I found the surface of the water covered with tiny drops. I then knew beyond doubt that the coin did belong to the oil merchant. Good, said the caliph. But do tell me how you knew to whom the book of learning belonged to.
That was equally easy to settle, responded the caddy. The book I found that the pages most used were those on which the duties of writers and scholars were set forth. The book belonged to the writer. Your judgment is most excellent, exclaimed the caliph, but how could you have told of whom the horse belonged? Last night I had your horse put in a stable that you and the beggar would have to pass on your way to court this morning. This morning I went to the stable. When the beggar passed, the horse never looked up. But when you passed the open door, he was stretched out his head and neighed as horses do, only when a love master approaches. So you see, my friend, the matter was very simple after all. Simple, cried the caliph. Your wisdom is beyond compare. I am the caliph. I need just such a man as you in my capital city. Honest judge, I now make you grand cadi.
Wow, that was a great book, wasn't it, Mark?
Yeah.
Mark, do you know how the judge found out how the coin belonged to the oil merchant?
Well, I think he knew because if it was an oil merchant, he probably worked with oil that day, and he would have oil on his hands, so if he touched the coin, it would put oil on the coin, and the dots in the glass were oil from his hands.
Oh, wow, that was a great story. This story was based on a story, A Turkish Judge, by Catherine T. Bryce, then adapted by Elaine Lindy. Thank you, Miss Lindy.
What a great show that was. Make sure you go to our bonus show, which is about our field trip to the Boston Museum of Fine Arts. You can give us some mail. Just go to podcast@bobsfrankel.com. Make sure to keep listening to our podcast at www.bobsfrankel.com. I hope you listen to next week's show.
Will help with socialization. The classes will help with socialization and will
socialization.
Okay.
One.
The classes will help with socialization. The classes will help with socialization.
Just
the word?
Just the word. Quiet on set.
Social.
What are you saying?
Quiet on set, people. Socialization. Everybody say it.
Socialization.
Ready to go. Got it?
Yeah.
Three. One.
No, we don't exactly. No one will notice.
All right, here we go. All right, quiet on set. All right. Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Take your time.
I can't say it.
Okay. I think we're going to have to take this up later in the day. Okay.
One more time.
All right. No, no, no. All right. Okay, we'll try.
Okay, I know I can say it. Okay.
Quiet on set.
Okay. Okay, give me time, people. Okay. So. I got it. Okay.
socialization? I just said it right, people.
Socialization. Yay! Did I just ruin it?
Final.
Okay. Keep going with the sentence. Mm-hmm.